This is the Championship Clubs Podcast, the show that shines a light on English rugby's second flight. Join us every fortnight and check us out on the socials at Champ Clubs Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new edition of the Championship Clubs Podcast. We'll be joined, as ever, by Doncaster Knights' Charlie Beckett to look back at round 14 and ahead to this weekend's Super Saturday in a moment. But on the theme of Doncaster, we are absolutely delighted to welcome some rugby royalty to the Championship Clubs Podcast, in the form of Sir Ian McGeech. And Geech, great to have you on there.
Ross, delighted to be talking to you.
Thank you very much. And I'd just like to clarify to the listeners, I am privileged enough to be allowed to call Sir Ian McGeech and Geech. So a huge honour for me. Geech, you've recently started your role as Consultant Director of Rugby at Doncaster Knights. How did that one come about and how does that role look for you?
Well, just a conversation with Steve Lloyd, the owner. Obviously, personnel had changed a bit. Joe Ford's taken over, a good young coach coming through, and just asked if I'd have a look, really overview, be a sounding board for Joe and just try and be supportive of him, the players, and the rugby that, you know, we hope we'll get on the field on a regular basis here at Doncaster.
You've covered it there a bit. Obviously, we've seen Donny in the press as recently as yesterday with the minimum standards criteria. But why Donny and why now for you?
Well, it's close to home, just about an hour away. Top Yorkshire club, you know, and I'm Yorkshire born and bred. Came through the rugby at Yorkshire with a lot of support. Obviously, Headingley was my club when I played. And coached there when I first started coaching. So I've a big interest in trying to make the rugby in Yorkshire and here at Doncaster the way through for a pathway, right the way through for England. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of talent, 120 plus clubs in the county. It's always been a strong rugby county. And I just think I got so much from it and so much support from people as I came through. Shouldn't really have played rugby union at all. First love was cricket, so second was football. But I had played rugby union at school. So, you know, I got involved there and just got a lot of support. And I just want to try, always have done coaching, just try and give the players the best opportunity of being successful. And the same here, you know, good group of players. If I can be, you know, some little help in keep moving things forward, then I'll be delighted.
Brings us on nicely to the next question, I suppose, that I had for you was sort of the ambitions for Doncaster Knights. We've obviously seen what could happen should the Knights finish top and or next season or you know, seasons in the future. But how do you get to that point and what plans are in place to challenge ultimately the likes of Ealing?
Well, I think, you know, you can't get away from the fact that the rugby has to be right and all the support that goes with it, because, you know, we'll go up on the field as well as off it. I think from a rugby perspective, very happy. And it's important that, you know, the two owners, Steve Lloyd and Tony De Mulder, are so keen and have a really good setup here. I mean, it's a great ground, great facilities. And so within that, we just want to create a successful rugby support system, so that, you know, we can put a game out on the field that puts us in that place that we can then challenge for one of the premiership spots. It's great, you know, that we know for all the work that's gone in, we've passed the audit. So that's a compliment, I think, to everybody who puts the club together and all the admin support staff behind it. It's just a very well-run club, and that's certainly impressed me.
taking the Doncaster hat off just for a second and looking at those hurdles about passing those minimum standards criteria and potentially getting a place in the Premiership, which is obviously the goal of many in this league. What do you think about those current minimum standards criteria in the Championship to get up to the Prem for the rest of the teams in the league?
I think from a facilities perspective, for what needs to be there for players and supporters, you know, it's right. I think certainly I'd like to see 5,000 being the capacity, not 10,000. I don't think 10,000 necessarily makes it common sense when you're, you know, challenging to get in the Premiership and find there's a commitment to keep improving if and when you're there. But I think a realistic and, you know, a very helpful indicator would be, you know, if you've got 5,000, then you have a ground that's there ready for introduction of Premiership rugby.
We'll come back onto the Championship in a little while. Just to rewind the clock a little bit for you, it is a welcome back to the Championship for yourself, obviously, at the club during the transition of Leeds Carnegie into Yorkshire Carnegie. Clearly a huge advocate for rugby in the north of England and Yorkshire, like you've said there. But what were the takeaways and learnings from that in that spell of your career and coming back into the Championship with Doncaster now?
I think, you know, the Championship is tier two. I think it's important the standard of the Championship is high because your top two tiers, I think, have to develop players and coaches and support staff. And I think the more that is in place, the stronger the professional end of the game will be. And I think the lessons are obviously financially, it is a challenge. Can't get away from that. That all clubs find that the case, whether it's Premiership or Championship. But I think you can't get away from the fact that you need the rugby to be of the best quality so that you continue to develop players through it and you have a great product on the field.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Obviously, you talk about the quality. We talk about that quite a lot. We've spoken about it on the pod, off the pod recently, you know, saying that the quality of player at both ends of their career, the beginning and the end, is probably as high as it's ever been in the league and especially high this season. You're seeing a lot of players end up in the Premiership midway through the season, whether it be on loans, going both ways. And it is a league full of talent, and that must be exciting, both now that you're back in the league, but also as someone that watches a lot of rugby as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the players coming through need that stage of development. And I'm probably an ex-schoolmaster, so I'm slightly biased that you're still learning all the way through, but you need to play rugby to be better at it. And I think in the past, you could say even now, you know, the opportunities coming through have to be to play the game and the right things in place. I still think they can be better for a player's perspective coming through to have that best support system pathway all the way through, and it should be to the England team. And I think everybody, with club, individuals, whoever, their challenge and their direction should be, if you've got an England player in the setup, then he should reach the England team and the system should be good enough to allow him to do that. And if you can put hand on heart and say you're putting everything into it to make that possible for any talent that comes your way, then I think the whole thing at the top end of the game would be in a good place.
Talk about the system there. We've spoken about it until we've been blue in the face a little bit on this podcast, and I'm sure lots of other media outlets feel the same as well. But how do you see the next steps for Tier 2? It's not a crystal ball job, but sort of the model commercially is a big thing, something we've talked about in terms of TV and sponsorship, you know, and sort of everything in between, and what direction this league takes from now on.
I think, you know, there has to be the right support in place. I think there should be, there has to be minimum standards, because that creates the environment for development and for, you know, the really highest quality rugby. And I think there's probably, you know, people in a better place than me to talk about that. But I, you know, I've always looked at it, you know, throughout my coaching career in particular, that you just try and create the best environment and you have a wide enough view that the game has to move past you as well. If you get, if you're right, you're handing players on to another level. And but the level, wherever it is that you're coaching or playing, is a step and towards international rugby. And I think there can still be progress and developments there. I don't think it's right yet, because there's a lot of variance in the approaches. But I think if there is that real determination of everybody to be involved, to say we're part of a system, and if we get it right, that takes players through to the England side, and puts the right players on the field with the right rugby and the challenge to play rugby at the very sharpest end, then everybody will benefit, I think.
We'll speak to Charlie Beckett, who I believe is in the background there somewhere in the box at Castle Park, about a Super Saturday stack full of fixtures this coming weekend. Just to wrap things up, Geach, if you don't mind, just your overall thoughts on the league and how it may pan out this season. We've seen Ealing run away with it a little bit, taking Leicester to the wire on, in front of a live TV audience, which is obviously great for our league. But we've also seen Coventry turn them over recently, and Ealing came unstuck at London Scottish. Is there some twists and turns ahead? I know you don't want to write any team talks being a man of Doncaster now.
No, it certainly is. And it's been good to see, you know, and obviously Cornish Pirates coming here at the weekend, who are in good shape, good form, well coached. So again, another challenge. And I think that's what you want, is you want jeopardy in the league. Runaway winners are not the best. So the more that jeopardy can stay, and you get the big days, the big occasions where, you know, you've got everybody certainly in the top six vying for the number one spot, then, you know, there'll be a lot of interest. And I think with that jeopardy, that's when the league is at its best.
Just finally, be remiss of me not to mention my esteemed colleague from the podcast, who is hovering, like I say, in behind you. I'm sure you've met a fair share of staff and players and coaches since you've been at Doncaster. But how's Mr. Beckett been? Has he been in your ear much or not?
No, not really. He's been working really hard. Very impressed with him on the training field.
His head can't get much bigger. He gets plenty of praise on this podcast anyway. But like I said, Geach, absolute.
He is smiling in the corner there.
Of course he is. We'll get him on in a minute. But like I said, Geach, an absolute pleasure to have you on the Championship Clubs podcast. Best of luck for the weekend and the rest of the season. And hopefully we'll get you on sometime soon.
Thanks, Ross. My pleasure.
Right, as we said, we do welcome Charlie Beckett onto the show, as always, to talk about the last round of games and ahead to this weekend. I just composed myself slightly after talking to the legend, it is Saria McGeachan. Charlie, it's always good to see you, mate, but I'm afraid you're relegated to number two after today's pod.
Yeah, let's not beat around the bush. No one on this planet is excited to see me after Saria McGeachan's been on. My own mother would be disappointed to see me right around the corner, but here I am. You can't get rid of me that easily. I'm ready to talk about the last round and this round this weekend.
After the Lord's Mayor show, mate, no pressure after following Geach. But like I say, we nearly had a bit of a Pirates special last time out. So at the risk of turning this into a Doncaster special, I'll give you the opportunity to echo some of the thoughts there from Geach on what we've seen in the press this week with the minimum standards criteria and Doncaster.
Yeah, it's brilliant to see, isn't it? It's brilliant to see that a Championship club, if we get our performances correct on the pitch, can go up to the Premiership or has the option to with that playoff. Now, let's not beat around the bush here. It's very unlikely we're going to finish top this season. Look at the table now. There would have to be a very strange set of circumstances of results for Doncaster Knights to finish top and have the playoff that we all want to see. So that is a shame for this season, but hopefully moving forward, it gives extra motivation to players here at Doncaster to be finishing top. And I want to echo what Geach said. It's credit to everyone off the pitch here. This is a phenomenally run club. We make a joke about it. I've been at enough championship clubs now that I know what a well-run one is. And this is a phenomenally run club off the pitch. And it's great to see that the minimum standards are obtainable. It's not impossible. It might be tough. There might be some hoops to jump through, but it's not impossible. So I think it's great news. We've just got to keep up our end of the bargain on the pitch now, haven't we? We've got to get our stuff in order on the playing side of things.
Awesome stuff, mate. Back to round 14 in some rugby then. And we'll start with a quote that will probably now haunt you for the rest of your days. Tries, tries, and more tries. Final score, Nottingham 0, Hartbury 3.
Yeah, I've been asked a lot about this. this I take completely on the chin. This hideous score, this hideous game of rugby is completely on me. I'd like to apologise to Nottingham and Hartbury, first of all. I'd like to apologise to all the supporters who paid money to go and see that. I'd like to apologise to everyone at Doncaster Knights because I represent them, my family, my partner, everyone. I've let everyone down, but most importantly, I've let myself down with that, haven't I? So sorry that happened, everyone. I won't be doing that again.
I think moving swiftly on, and swiftly on indeed, Coventry and Ealing, an absolute polar opposite to the game we've just discussed, the blockbuster. Coventry turning over the league leaders with a bonus point win of their own to put them back in contention themselves. 34-32 at the BPA, cat amongst the pigeons.
Yeah, what a stunning game of rugby it sounds like it was. Look, Coventry are very, very good. They came here a few weeks ago and I said on the podcast, completely outplayed us. They're a very good side and Ealing must not have been at their best. I haven't seen it, unfortunately, but Ealing must not have been at their best. If you're not at your best against Coventry, it doesn't matter who you are, they'll get you. Great scenes at full time. You can see the emotion of the players, the joy they take from it. So yeah, I still think it's very much Ealing's to lose. Very, very much Ealing's to lose. They are too far ahead with not enough games left. But it just shows, especially away from home, that they are beatable by anyone.
Bouncing back as well after a couple of disappointing results and getting their customary bonus point win, I believe. Bedford at Cambridge, 22-12 there. Didn't have it all their own way. It's a tighter game than it probably looks on paper, but Bedford will be happy to get the job done and get back home.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those days where you've just got to be happy that you got 5 points from it and move on to the next. Doesn't sound like a classic Bedford performance by any stretch of the imagination. Sounds like a tough day kicking. Obviously, only one conversion from four tries, but 5 points are 5 points at the end of the day. You don't get any extra points for having a pretty game or playing really well. All that matters is you get the win and four tries. So Cambridge is a really tough place to go. So one of those days that I think Bedford just say, yep, 5 points and let's move on to the next round.
On to your boys then. And another tricky fixture, a bit of a banana skin on paper, heading down to Scottish, who, of course, depending on Harlequins, can be pretty loaded. I think they were pretty loaded on the day. Donny walking away with 5 points themselves, 34-20, but Scottish, making life tough.
Ross, I'd love to tell you lots about this game. I was starting, I did play in it, but I managed to get concussed after 15 minutes. So I have watched it back, but my memory of the game during it are not the greatest, obviously. But no, look, lots of frustrating things in our performance. There are bits we've looked at. I'm not going to go into detail because obviously it's the new Champ Clubs Pod Derby this weekend, but we'll get onto later. So I'm not going to go into detail of what was frustrating us too much, but lots that we could improve on. But again, like I've just said, for Bedford, a really tough place to go, and we take 5 points from it. And I think that the pleasing thing was at 70 minutes, I think we were only 6 or 7 points up. Scottish had just scored. Yeah, I think we were 27-20 up, something like that. Scottish just scored. They had the momentum. And it was one of those where it's like, oh, this could be a real tough last 10 minutes to see it out. But rather than just see it out, we went and scored another try and got the bonus points. So, yeah, really, really pleasing results on the score sheet points-wise, but not our best performance. But like I say, sometimes all that matters is the 5 points, especially with those tricky away fixtures. Talking of tricky fixtures, you were at home on what looked like one of the worst Menai pitches I've seen in a long time from the video I saw. It looks like it's been wet down there. We had a very, very good win against Ampthill.
Yeah, we'll talk about the pitch first. I was walking behind some of the Ampthill lads on the way back to the coach, and I believe one of the comments was the worst pitch I've played at any level, including grassroots from under eights until under 13. So,
well, hang on. Unless they've started training on a different pitch at Ampthill, that lad just needs to have a look at the pitch they train on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, because I guarantee you that's the worst pitch I've been on. I love the club. I've got a lot of love for it. But that pitch outside the front of the clubhouse is far from brilliant.
Yes, we'll leave in-house politics from previous clubs behind. But yeah, not absolutely. You know, look, first and foremost, it's not a criticism of our pitch. Our ground staff do an unbelievable job. This pitch gets played on by two senior teams in a season. We all know what the weather's like on the seafront down in Penzance. So it's a battle every year. And to be honest, part of it is part of why we're difficult to beat at home. It's a tricky place to come. It's a difficult pitch to play on. We're more accustomed to it than others. And yeah, on the day, I think Ampton will be disappointed not to take anything from the game. I was actually really impressed with the way they started. There was an opportunity for them to go 14-0 ahead, and a little bit like how we started at home to you boys earlier on in the season, where we came unstuck. And to be honest, I don't know how the game would have gone if they had gone 14-0. Thankfully, they didn't, from our perspective. I think everyone's seen Matt McNabb's first try now, an unbelievable break from his own 22 in those tricky conditions from lefty Zagiriadis. Our prop puts it on the toe, hacked downfield by Alex Schwartz, and Maka scores the first of his hat trick, and that really got us going. I think that was, even if that hadn't have been a try, it's one of those moments in a game where the supporters get up and the energy sort of comes down onto the pitch from the stands, and then I think, yeah, that gave us the impetus, and we went into the break 21-7, scored the bonus point early, and just one of those games where it peters out a bit. So we'll be happy with, well, we are happy with 5 points. Keeps us in touch at the top. You need to be getting 5 points every week at the moment to even want to be second where we are. So yeah, we know that we've got to improve and got to keep picking up results and points. We'll talk about that in a minute. One more game that has been played since round 14 is a catch-up game for Nottingham at home to London Scottish. Thankfully, the curse only lasted for 1 week at Lady Bay. Charlie, it wasn't your fault this time. I don't think you made a prediction, so that might have been why they ended up winning quite an entertaining one against London Scottish, 31-28, although they nearly threw it away from a big lead at half-time.
Yeah, I actively stayed away from predicting on this, and I might just never predict a Friday night game at Lady Bay ever again, because I don't want to put the jinx up. But yeah, I messaged our Champ Club pod group at half-time when I believe they were 31-7 ahead, and I said, Nottingham absolutely rinsing Scottish. And then it finished 31-28, and it sounds like Scottish basically just ran out of time coming back there. And yeah, that's a big two bonus points for Scottish in that battle down the bottom. And also, the momentum and confidence you can sometimes take from a second half like that is huge. So not going to be very pleased with 5 points, but I'm sure they'll have had some pretty tough conversations and reviews around the second 40, because if you're 31-7 up at half time, you shouldn't really be squeaky bum time come the 80th minute.
I'd like to say I saw that text, but that was on Friday night. There was another game going on for the Premiership Rugby Cup, which obviously the Championship clubs have been involved with, and that was the only reason I was attending that fixture and enjoyed it as I did. On to Super Saturday.
Not the fact that Ross is such a large Gloucester fan that he's the only man in the world who's impressed by my two Premiership appearances for Gloucester. No one else in the world is impressed by that, but Ross every time is like, no, mate, it's two more than most people. I'm like, thanks, Ross.
Stick together, mate. Cherry and white, stick together. Anyway, onwards and upwards. Big Super Saturday in the Championship on round 15. We're going to start with the Pod Derby. It's Doncaster Knights against Cornish Pirates at Castle Park. Charlie Beckett, into the blue corner, please.
Yeah, is this our third different Pod Derby now? Because it's the third club I've been at since we've had the podcast. So it never has a derby changed this many times. But yeah, the big historic Pod Derby. Look, this is two. I think I previewed this game last time before I was with Doncaster when I was at Ealing, and I just said this is two Championship rugby heavyweights battling out, and it still is. It's made even more exciting by the fact I believe we're currently second and fourth, the two clubs, with maybe one or two points between us, I think. And I think you boys have a game in hand, but it's very, very tight, and this battle for the top four is really heating up. And I think if you want to be in that top four, top three, top two, I think winning this game will go a long way. So I know the boys here, I wasn't there, so I'm not going to say we did a very good job coming down to the Menai before the new year and got a hell of a win. And I know that the Pirates will take issue with that and want revenge, and there'll be a point to prove come this weekend. So We have been preparing all week for the most physical game of the season. It always is. Doesn't matter what club I've been at, whether it was Jersey, Ealing, Donny, Amptill, Pirates is as physical as it gets, full stop. I've never been sorer in my life than the morning after my first ever game against Pirates when I was at Jersey. It's a wake-up call that you won't get. So we are very, very aware of what's coming. We are very excited, but also confident as well. You've got to be. If you want to beat teams that are good teams, you've got to go out and play your best rugby. You do that when you're confident. So it's going to be a hell of a game, though, I think. Am I allowed to say? Because we've been told it is. I haven't seen it promoted yet, but it's being streamed, I believe. Is that, am I allowed to say that? Is that a pod exclusive? Am I announcing that for everyone? So if it is being streamed, which I believe it is, get watching it because it's going to be a very, very good game. But Ross, I'm going to throw it to the red corner.
Well, yeah, it's news to me and excellent news as well, because as many people are aware on many an away game, it's a long way from Cornwall. I shall be in my front room in the comfort and warmth of my own home, probably wishing I was in Doncaster as my three-year-old little girl runs rings around me as I try to cover a big championship game. So if it is streamed, I may be on the phone to the mother-in-law the weekend. But anyway, Doncaster were excellent on the day back in December. And to be honest, we're pretty pissed off with how we played that day. Nothing to do with getting revenge against Doncaster or anything like that. More about showing ourselves on a better footing, I suppose, than we did on the day. You know, that was something that happened earlier on in the season. We got turned over at home to Bedford. We were really poor on that occasion as well. And we went up to Bedford and got a good result, spurred on by the fact we hadn't put a performance in ourselves. So that's what we'll focus on this week. We'll focus on getting it right ourselves whilst being mindful of you know, a quality Donny side, you know, the physicality that you experience at Castle Park. I know we've got a bit of a good record up there, but, you know, you can't underestimate, despite, you know, the unlikeliness of Donny finishing top, how much of an energy giver that piece of news is this week to, you know, put a spring in everyone's step around the club. It livens the place up sometimes to sort of, you know, re-engage the message and the direction the club wants to go in. So we'll be aware of all of those factors, but, you know, the travel and everything like that. So yeah, we're ready to embrace the challenge, confident, like you say, but know that there's no room for error. We're at home to Ealing next. Not saying that, you know, don't expect us to win that. We're always confident at home. You just need to accumulating wins and points. So enough waffling from us, mate. There's eight other sides involved this weekend. Hartbury against Coventry. That looks like it could be a bit of a banger, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm going to be very, very careful how I predict this one. But I think this could be a good game, and that's all I will say. No, I think this will be going two good sides, two informed sides as well. Actually, Hartbury are climbing that table at a rate of knots. So they're a very informed side. Cov, obviously, massively informed after last week. So, yeah, I think this will be a good one, and that's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Excellent. We're moving on. Bedford at home to Coldy, back to Goldenton Road for the Blues, who I believe are hosting their Ladies' Day. So it should be a great occasion. They're big crowd expected at Goldenton Road, and they'd be confident against Coldy, but aware that it's a banana skin and a bit of a tough opponent to play against.
Yeah, always tough, Coldy. I think they are much tougher to play at Coldy rather than away. So Bedford always very strong at home as well. Big crowd cheering them on. Yeah, I think that is a big ask for Coldy going down there this weekend.
We'll get your predictions later on in the week before you start jinxing people again. And onto the next fixture is Cambridge and Nottingham. That's an interesting one. Nottingham started the season really well, and they do have it in them. But a bit like last season, they've been on a bit of a slide. I know, granted, they did pick up that win in that game in hand against Scottish, but even then you saw they're into a big lead and they nearly let that slip. Cambridge will be licking their lips there, I think.
Yeah, I everyone who listens to this podcast knows how high I have been on Nottingham this season. As you say, they maybe haven't continued their early season form. They'd still be the bookies' favourite, I imagine, this one, but I think you're right. I think when you're towards the bottom end of the league, you have to target certain games. I think Nottingham at home is a game that Cambridge will be targeting this weekend to try and get a win out of.
And just finally on to Ealing. Ealing actually faced Amptill next week as well, who don't play this week. There's no other games for any of the Championship clubs next weekend other than that one. But they face London Scottish at the Trailfinder Sports Club. And they came unstuck down at the Rag earlier on in the season. They definitely will be plotting a revenge mission, and you'd have to back them to get that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, obviously, shock of the season, that result at the Rag earlier in the year. I don't think we will be seeing a repeat of it against Scottish and other side who are a lot stronger at the rag than they are at away from home. Ealing very strong at home as well. So, yeah, I'd be shocked if we saw a repeat of that this weekend.
Brilliant, Charlie. Big thanks, as ever, for joining us on the pod. Massive thanks, of course, to Sir Ian McGeeken for coming on and to producer Ryan. In the meantime, look out for Charlie's predictions on social media at the end of the week. Look out for our team of the week and look out for our new edition of the moment of the week. And we'll be back with some podcast news very soon.
That was the Championship Clubs podcast. Be sure to come back in a fortnight's time and follow us on social media at Champ Clubs Pod on Instagram and Twitter.